we're looking to place simply a temporary moratorium on the approvals, just because I understand some of these may have been sent back and revised, but still, DOT still approved. First off, they've never denied any of these applications, so they've approved every single one that's come to them. And the law is very specific, and really what's going on, I think, is outside of what the intention of the law was. The intention of the law was to make our roadways safer, which obviously everyone agrees with. But it seems like many of these municipalities, and particularly the vendor that in a lot of cases is crafting these applications directly to DOT, it's more of a revenue grab as opposed to a safety measure.
You're hearing from State Senator Steve Harding. He was recently on our show talking about this call to action. State lawmakers, including Senator Harding and Senator Huang, pushing for pauses and moratoriums on those automated traffic technologies. I'm talking about the speed enforcement cameras. Just to be clear, we are not talking about license plate readers. We are specifically talking about speed enforcement cameras. Those are two very different things. And it all ties back to the Vision Zero legislation that was approved back in 2023. If you want to go back and listen to that conversation with Senator Harding, you can. In fact, one of the things right out of the gate I said to Senator Harding was, I need to correct something. The DOT doesn't just willingly approve these plans, right? So I just told you that Stanford already announced it's rolling out its cameras next month, but they approve those plans. Those plans started back in June of 2024. They just got approved in January of this year. So even the narrative that the DOT just kind of approves them is just not what's going on. With that being said, though, the Connecticut Department of Transportation kind of firing back saying, no, we're not pausing this. We're not going to do this. And so I thought it was a good opportunity to talk to Josh Morgan about this a little bit more, who has been open on the show ever since this legislation went into effect 3 years ago. And Josh, welcome back. Thank you for continuing these conversations. I don't want to put words in your mouth or the DOT, but you're not pausing the program.
Good morning, Melissa. Thanks for having me back on. No, you're correct. We did receive a letter from Senators Harding and Senators Huang, who did ask for a pause on the program. We did respond. Commissioner Iacolito responded with a three-page letter of his own, just explaining that the way the statutes are written, we don't believe it's permissible for us to pause the program based on what the senators had raised as concerns of theirs. Certainly can have those conversations with them in the 2027 legislative session, because anything that Senator Harding or any of the other members of the Connecticut General Assembly want to see changed or updated in the law would obviously take an amendment and a vote of the chamber to amend the law. So, no, we're not pausing the program. There's currently 17 municipalities that have approved programs. That's out of 169 municipalities. So the camera technology, like you said, has the bill passed 3 years ago. And I think there had been a widespread belief that these cameras were going to be on every street corner in every community across Connecticut. And it was probably a conversation you and I had 2 or 3 years ago. People were surprised that the first plan didn't get approved until December 2024, well more than a year after the bill became law. So these things take time, and that was intentional and deliberate and was baked into the legislation when it was signed into law about these deliberative, intentional steps that the DOT needs to take, but also the communities need to take to make sure that the community is informed and that these are put up in areas that are going to make the most difference in terms of reducing crashes, reducing speeding, and saving lives.
So there's a couple of things with this, Josh, that, again, I would encourage people to go back and listen to. I've had Senator Harding on about this, and I actually had you on in between talking to Senator Huang about this as well and his concerns around it. But I encourage people to go back and listen to these podcasts, because one of the things that I felt was a really important theme in a potential pause to these programs was I feel the municipalities' decisions. And again, I don't know if that comes down to the DOT. I don't know if that comes down to legislation being fixed. But my biggest concern, I would say, or I should, if I could voice what people's biggest concerns are, is who is actually in charge of these cameras? I mean, I know that there's the concern of the money grab and all of that, but to be honest, first of all, I have to remind people that, and we've talked about this a lot, you and me, Josh, is that these cameras only stay up for 3 years, and they all come down to see if, in fact, they are effective and do we really want to have them stay. So these are not permanent. I want to also just remind people about that. We also know there's plenty of data proving that we have very bad driver behavior in the state of Connecticut. We have plenty of data proving that at a municipal level, if a town or city wants to have these speed enforcement cameras, it is their decision to want to do it. It is not mandatory. So there are some things in here that I think are getting lost in translation. But I guess my biggest concern is who's actually providing the cameras. That seems to be the biggest issue. And apparently, there was an investigation done. The company that installs and runs the cameras do help create some of the municipal plans. That does sound like a conflict of interest, but does that fall on the DOT and the law that's in place, or does that fall on the municipality?
So it's a municipal-run program, so ultimately the town or city is responsible for identifying the locations, putting in the application, collecting the data, submitting the reports to the DOT every year, holding the public hearing, keeping the community informed. And that was really intentional by members of the General Assembly to make sure that this was an optional program, that it was an opt-in, not an opt-out program, and that it wasn't a mandate from the state of Connecticut. So this is individual choices that individual communities can make for their communities, for their roads, whether it's near a school, near a park, or near an area that the town and the local law enforcement know to be a problem for speeding or red light running. What I will say about the vendors helping municipalities prepare applications is it's really no different than the state of Connecticut's use of consultants. There's subject matter expertise, there's vendors, there's companies who specialize in this technology, who specialize in roadway safety, that maybe a city or town doesn't have that expertise on staff. Think of maybe you individually hiring a CPA to help you file your taxes, or you hire a contractor that's going to help you pull building permits and electrical permits when you're doing a renovation on your house. The law allows this. It is permissible based on Connecticut statutes. And what's in there, and maybe what is missing from the conversation, is that the vendors' fees that they charge the town cannot be in any way tied to the number of citations issued, the number of cameras installed, the number of warnings. So there is that firewall between the consultant helping or the vendor helping prepare the application, and then sort of that reward on the back end that was cut out deliberately to avoid any conflict of interest. So there is no quota, there is no performance bonuses if a town gets 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 speeding citations issued. It's a flat fee and the vendors can't have anything connected to the use of the technology.
Josh, I got to push back on that a little bit. I do. And I don't, I honestly, as a news reporter, there's, I get conflict of interest. If my family commits a crime, I can't have anything to do with that news report. I can't tell the story. I can't help with interviews. You know, I like per FCC, I can't have anything to do with that. That is a very slippery slope, in my opinion. If you've got a camera vendor weighing in on where they go, even though the statute says, hey, it can't result in you getting more cameras or making more money, I don't see how you can have a vendor who ultimately is going to partner with you on this. I don't think you can compare that to a consultant. I don't. I think you, if it was somebody who says, hey, I know this industry well enough and I could give you kind of some, some help with this, or I could give you some guidance, but I don't expect anything in return. I have nothing to gain from this other than to be helpful to you. That's fine. I don't think that's the same thing. I don't think we can say that is equal. I do think that's a conflict of interest.
Yeah, no, and we've heard that, and this is was part of the conversations more than 3 years ago when we were proposing the Vision Zero legislation, that this technology was included in that bill, again about having it not be a mandatory program, having towns opt in, but then recognizing that we have 169 municipalities, large and small, all very different. Some engineering departments are, a team of one. Some places are part of resident trooper barracks. They don't have their local law enforcement agency because of their size. And so there is a way to have vendor support with the program. But again, there's checks and balances. So if this vendor says, okay, we're going to put up, 10 cameras here, it still needs to be rooted in the data. There's still a cross-check by the DOT engineers and the DOT subject matter experts that are making sure that the cameras are being used in the area where they're going to have the greatest impact. Did hear Senator Harding saying on your show that we haven't denied any applications. That's true, but we have denied many locations. In fact, about 25% of proposed locations are being rejected. So while an overall plan may get approved, all the locations that a town or city may be asking for ultimately don't pass. So it's been about 25% reduction during the DOT review where we're pulling out locations because the data doesn't line up or we don't think it's going to be effective there. Ultimately, the plan passes, and you had mentioned Stanford before. These things do take time because there is a back and forth between the Connecticut DOT team, the town, and they go back to the drawing board. They're working on it. So, again, these things take time, but there is checks and balances to making sure that what is being submitted is rooted in data and actually could have a great impact for public safety.
We've got Josh Morgan here from the Department of Transportation, and Josh, I know we had two topics to talk about, but this one is going to take the cake. It has to, because it's just what everybody's talking about, and I just don't want to not do it justice. So I appreciate you talking about speed enforcement cameras. To be clear, if you're just tuning in, state lawmakers pushed for local pauses and moratoriums on the speed enforcement camera program. They wanted to, not allow more municipalities to get approved plans until they could go back and provide more oversight. And the DOT is saying, no, we're not pausing it. I do think there are some things that are, again, good about this program. So everybody unanimously feels like we have a speeding problem. Okay, cool. We do think the cameras are effective in slowing down speeds. We already are getting data from some of these towns that have had them roll out, and they're saying they're working. And honestly, Josh, I think this is the thing, is the 3-year thing I think is important too. These are not permanent fixtures. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, you take these cameras down in 3 years and you determine if it's even worth now exploring having the cameras put up or moved or a municipality keeping them, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And again, that's part of the law, that this isn't a set it and forget it program, that is a 3-year sunset period. There's annual reporting that the municipality needs to do. If they wanted to add a camera, say, they would have to submit a new plan. So it's not a blanket approval, and it's not a lifetime approval. So after 3 years, the cameras do get turned off, and if they want to turn them back on, they have to reapply. Again, that was part of the legislation that was put into law because we were really intentional in our conversations with lawmakers and our conversations with community partners about the benefits of this technology. But also, it's not new technology. It's new to Connecticut. It's been used in most of the civilized world. And we've also seen how it's been misused and how it can be misused. And that's why this law was written in such a way that had privacy centered, that information is not being shared outside of the systems, that it wasn't set it and forget it, that there is a 3-year window for when the cameras need to be reapplied, and that there is transparency, that the municipality and the town, they're required to do certain steps, including public engagement and having a public hearing, because there was no surprises. We wanted people to be engaged and informed and be part of the process. And also that there has to be signage posted on the roadways, letting the public know that even if maybe they missed that hearing or they didn't listen to an interview or they didn't see that article or that post on social media, that they're going to see it when they're actually driving in the field and have time to course correct, slow themselves down. And then also the systems are not issuing citations immediately. People get warnings the first time. Again, this was all intentional and deliberative to try to change driver behavior and save lives in Connecticut.
I think, Josh, and again, this is just when I try to look at the full picture, because, again, I push back when people say, we don't need the cameras running when schools aren't in session. I think that's ridiculous. And the reason I say that is because we're not going to change behaviors if we know 3 months of the year we can abuse them and 9 months of the year we can't, right? I mean, to me, you have to have consistency. So when people say that, I think that narrative is ridiculous. Do I think it's a money grab? Maybe to some degree. I do think sometimes you look at these speed limits and I think they're ridiculously low. And the fact that if you go, you know, 9-10 miles over the speed limit, sometimes I do think that those need to be looked at again. But I think we can look at that after you look at 3 years of if driver behavior changes. I mean, here in Milford, I look at a couple of the places where speeding is absolutely a problem. I look at the stretch where there is one camera, where there are two schools and a YMCA. The amount of time since I've lived here where I have wondered if an athlete is going to get hit crossing the street, a kid walking home. I, too, walk my kid home from his school a lot of the times, and I'm like, oh, my God, where are you going, Mario? So you can't say that there's not a place for them. In the meantime, though, I think you got to address the elephant in the room, which is that everyone doesn't like Flock. That has to be one of the biggest problems, is who is actually running these cameras, and the fact that people don't even understand that speed enforcement cameras are very separate than license plate readers. I mean, you have people who are literally yelling that they want all cameras to come down when those are two very separate things. And yet I'm wondering if that could be one of the solutions. The fact that if you've got somebody contracted to do your license plate readers, which that's a whole different conversation, but I do think it's muddying the waters for you guys with your speed cameras. Do you think they should not be allowed to operate the speed enforcement cameras?
I don't know the names of every single vendor of the 17 approved municipalities that have the plans approved. What I do know is that you're absolutely right that there is conflation happening. We see it on social media. We see it from calls to our customer service center that, you know, every camera is being lumped together, whether it's a red light camera, a camera being used by law enforcement, a Flock camera, whether it's a work zone camera, whether it's a camera that's just detecting vehicles at an intersection to help turn the light from red to green. We get a lot of questions on that. And I think I would agree with you that does muddy the waters. Just to be, you know, crystal clear about privacy, about data concerns, about where that personally identifiable information is going, and the answer is nowhere. So if, you know, Milford, for example, if they have a system up and another neighboring town says, hey, we had maybe a stolen vehicle come through, can we have your records from your cameras? The answer is no. The only people who have access to that data are the people who are physically reviewing the information, whether that's a civilian member of the traffic authority, whether that's a sworn member of the local law enforcement. That's not shared with the state of Connecticut. That's not shared with our municipalities. It's not shared with federal agencies or outside parties.
But if it's a Flock camera, though, Josh, shared. Don't they also get that data? If they own the cameras, don't the Flock people also get that data, though? Anybody who's in that, that's where I think the confusion is with the license plate readers versus the speed enforcement cameras. If my license plate is captured on a speed enforcement camera, does Flock have access to that? Anybody in the Flock network?
No, and again, I don't know if Flock is one of the approved vendors on any of the 17 plans, but the way the law is written is that information is not shared. So if Flock has a license plate reader in partnership with law enforcement, but then if Flock happens to be a vendor for a red light or a speed camera, those systems are independent. And the information, again, cannot be shared because we have seen, again, as I mentioned before the commercial break, how this technology can be abused and misused. And we were trying to put these guardrails in place to make sure that their personally identifiable information is not being shared, it's not being misused, it's not being sold or targeted at any individual person or any individual community. And again, that's something that was debated on and included in the legislation with the support of the General Assembly because they wanted to protect people's privacy.
Right. So bar anything, we clearly need more education on just even differentiating the two. But also, I do think we got to look at that conflict of interest and all of that. So Josh Morgan, I do appreciate you starting the conversation here. Unfortunately, we've run out of time.